Okay, we started a two-week series last week called Devoted, and I'm going to carry on in that series this week and use the exact same passage of Scripture to do it. Let's read Acts 2:42-47. This is right after, by the way, Peter, who betrayed Jesus when Jesus was going to die, right after Peter received the Holy Spirit, started speaking in tongues, started speaking in a different language, people started recognizing that he and the other disciples were speaking in their own language, which the disciples didn't know. And then people start saying, what's going on here? He preaches an incredible message about Jesus. They're all cut to the heart, say, what do? He says, repent and be baptized. They all are baptized. They all do repent. By the way, next 2 weeks from now, we have baptisms. And if you today have not been baptized and you believe in Jesus, want to follow him, you need to get baptized. We really believe. This is the first thing Peter said. What should we do? Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Anyways, and then this happens. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. As I originally thought out this sermon series, I knew I wanted to speak on a mission and money in the context of being devoted. And so as I was spending time about this, I was thinking about some missionaries that I've known. Dan and Jill are some of those. I think, how can we create a culture in the church where when you get saved, you go to Haiti for 9 years, you know? Isn't that a pretty crazy story? You think, okay, usually what happens is someone gets saved and start to read the Bible more and maybe get in a small group. Well, these guys basically say, hey, we believe in Jesus and we believe other people need to know about Jesus too. We better go to Haiti. We better go across the world or down the world and go and make a difference there. And then we're going to spend 9 years with our family. Sometimes when I think of that, I think, how would I do that? Or how could we create a culture like that in the church? That seems so extreme. We'd need real devotion for that. You know, I start to think that way. Or Zach and Megan. Zach and Megan are the same age as Kendall and I. They have kids the same age as mine and Kendall's kids. And off they go to Thailand because they feel God calling. I think, what is that? How can we do that? How can we stir that up? What would it look like for a church to believe so much that boom, away we go. I'm just going to go ahead and I'm just going to go to Thailand. I'm going to go to Haiti and just make it happen. I started thinking as I considered those different stories, I started thinking of the guy who impacted my life probably in the greatest way in my Christian development when I was younger. I've talked about him a little bit in my life. He's the guy who gave me potatoes to go and give out in an apartment building. If you've heard that story, you know it's a good one. If you haven't heard that story, it sounds like a weird one. But anyways, he gave me potatoes. We went and gave them out in an apartment building. Long story short, I lead this guy to Jesus Christ by giving him a potato. It's crazy. So I remember that story. I start thinking back to him, thinking, how do we get people so devoted to their faith, so devoted to the extreme, so devoted to these incredible stories? How do we get people to start to do that? I think he wasn't just, let's do these potatoes one time. He said, let's do potatoes. And then one time it was light bulbs. Hey, Ev, what are you up to? Nothing, just hanging out, playing video games as any normal 12-year-old would do. He goes, okay, I got a bunch of light bulbs. Let's go give them out. What? Why would we give out light bulbs? I don't know, Jesus loves people and we just want to go give light bulbs. This one time he gets a whole cooler. Like, he did everything extreme. In fact, he's still in youth ministry and his motto is pray hard, play hard. But anyways, he shows up at my house, got this huge cooler of pop. He's a mid-20s guy. I'm 12 years old. I said, what are you doing with that? He goes, we're going to go to the intersection in town. And I say the intersection because I was Williams Lake and there's only one. We're going to go to the intersection. We're going to take these pops, and we're going to lay them down there. And when everyone stopped at the lights, you're going to grab the pop and go and give it out and say, here you go, Jesus loves you. I'm like, all right. I don't know what we're doing, but okay, if you say so, then I'm going to do it. And I started thinking about this guy because when you look at Acts, the story of Acts, after Jesus dies, the Holy Spirit comes, and all of a sudden, things start happening. It's just like this. It's just like giving out pop here and light bulbs here and potatoes here and people's lives being changed through pop, potatoes, and light bulbs. How does that happen? I start to think, oh, God, why are we so far from this? Why are we not in the spot where we're seeing the miraculous, where we're in awe of what's going on, where it's incredible what testimonies are coming out? Why, we see some things, but God, why is it not like it was then? How do we devote ourselves to this crazy lifestyle? How do we devote ourselves to this insane kind of foolish almost just love? How do we do that, God? Sometimes we think that that's what needs to happen. I felt overwhelmed this week trying to think of how we can create that culture. I feel like God named this sermon series before I actually knew what it was about. Because as I look back at the story, I was honestly racking my brain this week, like, God, how are we going to, I was almost hoping by the end of this service, someone would be all of a sudden heading off on missions. Maybe everyone would, and we'd empty out the church. I don't know, but I was thinking that someone's going to this week sell their house and bring in the money, and here you go, pastor, here we go, church, let's go. You know, I'm starting to think this is what's going to happen. People are going to just do crazy things. How do we make that happen? I start thinking that's what is needed. But then I looked back here, and the disciples didn't devote themselves to crazy things. They didn't devote themselves to miracles. They didn't devote themselves to healings. They didn't devote themselves to speaking in tongues. They didn't devote themselves to this. It says, actually, they devoted themselves to four fairly mundane things. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Devoted themselves to the teaching. I don't know about you. Sometimes the pastor's a little boring. Hey? Anyone with me? No? Okay. Sometimes you show up at church and think, here he goes again. Yeah, I've heard this one before. There he goes. Isn't he going to give us a better joke? Yeah, at least. Like, hasn't he? Did he even work on this or not? I don't know. They devoted themselves to sitting under the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to showing up and just listening. It didn't say they devoted themselves to the good teaching. Didn't say they devoted themselves to the funny teaching or the engaging teaching or the entertaining teaching or the baldest men teaching. It doesn't say they devoted themselves to those things. It says they just devoted themselves to the teaching. I've sat under some boring teaching, and I've probably produced some bad sermons myself. There's probably times when I don't preach very well. I know that, actually. I know there's times when it feels like, oh, this is tough slugging, and I'm not getting through, and we're not seeing anything happen, and am I ever going to be able to do anything? But when the people start devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, whether it's good or not, something happens. Devoting yourselves to the apostles' teaching is more than just the apostles' teaching. It's not the apostles' teaching that's going to change things. It's the devotion to it that will. Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Who's at some point felt like they don't really want to be friends with their friends? Come on. Sometimes there's moments where you think, these friends are really annoying and I don't think I like them anymore. They want to talk about things that I don't care about. And it says, they devoted themselves to fellowship. Fellowship, and then following that is breaking of bread. Breaking of bread, I think one of the reasons why they devoted themselves to breaking of bread, one is because communion reminds us of Jesus and his sacrifice, but two is because they would do it together. They'd get together and break bread. It wasn't just something they did in church. What that meant is that they would have people into their house. Why do you have to devote yourself to that? Because sometimes you don't want to do it. I don't really want that person over at my house right now. I don't want to spend time with those people. I'm happy just doing my thing today. I don't want to share my grilled cheese and soup. Yesterday I had grilled cheese and soup and it was delicious. I don't want to share that with everyone right now. I want to do my own thing. But this says they devoted themselves to having people over, to spending time, to sitting with each other, and then fellowship. Fellowship is not just they devoted themselves to talk about the Blue Jays. Fellowship is they devoted themselves to discover about each other. What was going on in their lives? What was happening? What are you struggling through? Well, how's your marriage? How are your finances? What's difficult for you? How is it walking through that traumatic time? How is it walking through, you lost your job, how's that? Can we pray? Your marriage is falling apart, how's that? Can we pray? Your kids are rebelling against you, how's that? Can we pray? You're getting bullied at school, how's that? Can we pray? They devoted themselves to this. If you've lived on this planet for any time, you know that there are times when you don't want to talk about that stuff. You don't really want to know what's going on in someone's life. So they devoted themselves to it. And the last thing is they devoted themselves to prayer. Devoted themselves to praying. It was when they got devoted that their faith exploded. It's when they got devoted that all of a sudden everything around them exploded. Everything started happening. Not when they decided, you know what, we better be devoted to some sort of crazy lifestyle. We need to just do things that everyone's going to talk about, and then Jesus will be known. It's going to be awesome. We just need to go nuts. What we need in this church is we need a whole big healing. We need everyone to whatever it might be. We need it all to happen. Everyone's going to talk about this, and once everyone talks about us, oh, then everyone will know about Jesus. It's going to be the best thing ever. I can't wait. And then we'll go out and we'll do what the apostles did. We'll go heal everyone and we'll go restore everyone. We'll go do all of these things and that's going to be the best. Okay, Jesus, just do it. Show us how. Show us what it looks like. Okay, devote yourself to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Devote yourself to each other. Devote yourself to the church. Devote yourself to the things that are hard to devote yourself. Every time you watch a movie with an exciting character, you're not sitting there thinking, wow, it's so hard to keep up that lifestyle. Like, I don't know, Indiana Jones or Captain America or something. There's all this exciting stuff going on in their life. And you don't look at that and think, oh, that must be so hard. They must have written a contract and committed themselves to that because that looks pretty boring. Devotion is to hold us in things that sometimes feel mundane. Hold us in things that sometimes feel like aren't actually all that glamorous. Hold us in things that sometimes we pull ourselves away from, and the character that develops within us allows us to see God work in incredible new ways. Here's another tweetable for you. When you get steady, get ready. When you steady your life on the things that God wants us to steady your life on, when you start reading that Bible and spending time in it, when you start praying, when you start devoting yourself in a small group, when you start devoting yourself to being part of the body that's bigger, when you start devoting yourself to tithing and giving in that way, when you start steadying those aspects of your life, get ready. Because God is going to move in big ways. God is going to do incredible things. God is going to do miraculous things in your presence. He's going to do miraculous things in your church and miraculous things in your city, not because you worked really hard and got the faith up to do those miraculous things, but because you devoted yourself to what seemed mundane and what was difficult and what was boring and what was challenging at times. And when you devoted yourself to those, God started working. See, I don't think we need to sit here and think about how we can do some sort of prayer so that all of us will all of a sudden go and do missions. All of us will all of a sudden give generously. As a pastor, I was trying to think of those things, honestly. Okay, how are we going to do it, God? How are we going to hear incredible stories of people going out into the world and doing all sorts of things? How are they going to live with a mission? How are we going to hear incredible stories? I get inspired by these stories. And a couple chapters later in Acts, it actually talks about that literally selling their house. They're selling their homes and bringing in the money so they can take care of people. Those are crazy stories. These aren't people who are dying and there you go, you can have my house once I'm gone. They're living and they're saying, let's just get rid of all my creature comforts, give it away, and then I'll just carry on trusting God. It's incredible what was happening. But we're not going to, as a church, try to figure out how to make that happen, because they didn't. We're going to figure out how we devote ourselves to this. So a lot of people who want to live like faith-based Indiana Jones say, I just want to go and do the crazy things. Okay. But the craziest things, the most revolutionary things, the most world-changing things that happened in Scripture came out of a heart that was devoted to just the church. A heart that was devoted to meeting and taking care of what was right there. A heart that was devoted to the teaching that was coming to you. A heart that was devoted to the normal things. All of a sudden, it just started happening. Listen to what happens. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. And then it said, everyone was filled. Not everyone filled themselves. Everyone was filled with awe. Isn't that a weird thing to fill you with awe? Why do you love God so much? Why do you see Him so much? Like, well, how do you recognize Him so well? Oh, it's because I have a really strong faith. Probably not. It's probably because you devoted yourself. And God honored your devotion by filling you with His presence, by filling you with His awe, by filling you with His excitement for what He is doing. You devoted yourself to His work. So when you get devoted, your faith, when they got devoted, their faith exploded. I want to encourage you today just with, I'm just going to tell you six things that I want to encourage you as your pastor to get devoted with. These are things that can sometimes be mundane. They're all little practices, faith-based practices that I hope that you will do. I hope that you will practice in your life. And they're all things that we start well with and then we stop doing at some point. The reason is we don't get devoted to them. We don't stick with it. We don't follow through with the things that we've decided to do. This isn't about religion. It's not about just do all these things and then you'll be good. It's about learning how to be devoted to God by devoting yourself to how He's working in this church and then watching what He'll do from it, watching what He'll do out of your life. He will fill you with awe. Okay, let me throw six things at you. Every day, read your Bible. I want to ask you, you don't have to answer. Do you have a plan for when you're going to read your Bible tomorrow? I wonder how many of us would. We said that. Oh, no, I'll get to it. Don't worry, I'll see it. Or, oh, yeah, I've got a verse on my wall. I read it every time I get up. Do you have a time when you're going to devote some time to reading the Bible tomorrow? Is it already planned out in your mind or not? For me, I don't know about you. For me, I mean, I've got three kids. We're running one of them to kindergarten now. We've got quite a lot of things going on. I can't not have a plan for when I'm going to read my Bible. It just won't happen. Or I'll be driving to work or something and sort of trying to flip through this thing or whatever and getting pulled over by the police. I don't know what might happen. I just need to plan my day. I need to know when I'm going to do it. And for me, that means getting up really early. Doesn't mean that for everyone, but for me, that's what it means. I need to get up really early because my kids get up pretty early. So if they get up pretty early, I better do the really early and do that. I had a friend down in Victoria. He was devoted. He wanted to see incredible things, and so he devoted his life to Jesus in amazing ways, and he had to take the bus to his roofing job that was in a different city. He actually came from Trinidad, and so he had this roofing job in a different city. He had to take the bus to it every morning, so he had to be up at 4:30. So he said, so I have to get up at 3 to do my devotions. Like 3 o'clock? That's not getting up. That's just not going to bed. And he just says this, I need to beat my body in submission. My body will submit to my faith. Like, I pray for that day for myself. You know, that's tough. 3 o'clock. I don't know what it is for you, but plan a time. Do you have a time when you're going to read your Bible tomorrow? Say, I don't need to read my Bible. I have Christians say that to me. I don't need to read my Bible. It doesn't matter to me. It was all written. That's nice. It's a nice piece of work, and that's good. Or some who say, I just need the Holy Spirit. I think God needs our devotion. If it's just Holy Spirit, often what we say is that's just the free card. Oh, I'm just going to live my life, and the Holy Spirit's going to do things, and it's going to be great, and there'll be no problem. But are we devoted to God then, or are we just waiting for some big show from God? God wants our relationship. He wants our love. He could do it in a whole bunch of ways, but I'm suggesting some ways today that he's calling you to devotion. The second one is, do you have a moment that you're going to pray tomorrow? Often that can come in with your Bible. It can happen at that time. I know there's prayers in your car, you know. Lord, please don't let that policeman see that I was just doing this. No. Lord, please have that person move over because they're too slow. You know, please give me a parking space. I know those prayers. I know that those prayers happen at times. But do you have a moment where you're going to actually stop and pray for what God wants you to pray for? Tomorrow, do you have something that you're going to? By the way, next week we're going to start a series on prayer, and I'm excited about that. But do you have a moment tomorrow already marked out in your mind? This time I'm going to devote to praying to Jesus for whatever he wants me to pray for. I want to encourage you to find one. Every week, so those were every day, read your Bible and pray. That's 2 of our 6. Every week, get to your small group. If you don't have one, you should jump in one. I was so reminded today, or as this week carried on, I was thinking about this concept of small group more and more, and it's so big in my heart. But I want to know, do you have a plan for when someone's going to hear all the stuff that's going on in your life? Do you have a plan specifically where you're going to be able to be open and honest about every struggle that you're facing, every challenge that you're walking through, every difficulty in your life? Do you have a plan for when someone's going to hear about that who can pray for you? Because if you don't, small group's a great way to do that. Just be to share, be honest and open with each other about what things could look like. Every week, be in a small group. And every week, come to church. Come to church. They devoted themselves to that. They devoted themselves to getting to the temple and listening to the apostles teach. And this doesn't have anything to do with me. It doesn't mean that once you get to church, the pastor will say something, it's going to change your life, and then you're going to be able to carry on. Sometimes I'm really thankful that it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with me. You coming, just devoting yourself to being here, is a commitment to God saying, I'm all in. Just coming to be here and be part of this with us. So every day, read your Bible and pray. Every week, be in your small group and go to church. Worship team, you can come and join me. And every month, serve on team. Now, some of you are like, I only have to do that every month? Awesome, I'm pulling out of all my other commitments. But so if you're already in more than that, then you're in more than that. Sorry, you're locked in for life. But if you don't serve on team in this church, jump in. Be a part of it. Serve. We've got space for you. We want you to be a part of this with us. Even just on Sunday, we have space. We have 4 areas on Sunday. Production. Right now, our drummer is leading our production team. And so Kyle serves on a number of different places, and Sean also serves on our youth team, and he's on that camera almost every week. If you want to be involved in this church, you want to commit yourself, devote yourself, so go up to Kyle and say, hey, I want to serve once a month. What will you do with me? Go up to George and say, I want to serve with you once a month. What will you do with me? To Joel, I want to serve once a month. What will you do with me? To Karen and say, I'd love to serve once a month. What will you do with me? Just devote yourself to that. They may tell you something completely mundane. You may say, oh, that's great. We're so glad. Every week after everyone's gone, we'd love for you to pick up the garbage and wipe the scuffs off the floor. It's not about what you do. It's about devotion. Devotion. Devote yourselves. Why? I don't know, it just seems like the formula God gave. I don't even actually have an answer for that. I couldn't tell you. Once you devote yourself, then it does this in your heart, and then that piece in your brain flips that way, and then your spirit does this, and it all lines up, and boom, miracles. But I will tell you that God saved some people. They got baptized and filled with the Spirit, and then they devoted themselves. And then after that, their shadows were healing people. After that, money I do not have, but what I do have I will give to you. And they were raising people up who've been crippled their whole life. After that, they had power. But power didn't come, right? Baptized and Holy Spirit, and sometimes it happens that way. But here we see that all of these people collectively, 2,500 people, give their life to Jesus, say, we've been wrong, we want to follow you, we want to go in your direction, whatever you're doing, we want to do that thing. So we're going to devote ourselves and learn where we can learn, and be in fellowship where we can be in fellowship, and take care of who we can take care of, and serve where we can serve. And out of that devotion, we're expecting the power of God to show up. I want to see the power of God show up. I think you do too. I want to see miracles. I want to hear about people. We've had several stories of people coming out of addiction. I want to see hundreds this year. I'd love to see just a revival of people who are in addiction. That all of a sudden people are free all over the place and say, I don't know what happened. I'm free. And Jesus did it. I can't explain it, but away we go. And you know what? Every time I've seen people come out of addiction through Jesus, you know what they do? They come to the pastor and say, hey, how can I serve? At GT, at the church I came from, almost the whole team that served on Sunday mornings came out of addiction. Because God changed their life. Yeah. Because God changed their life. And they felt this. If you want to see the big miraculous things, don't seek the big miraculous things. Devote yourself. You're not the one who's going to do the big things anyways. You devote yourself in small ways. Take a humble seat wherever you need to take a seat. Serve in a humble way wherever you need to serve in that humble way. And watch Jesus use the church as a whole to do incredible things. Last one. So every day, read your Bible and pray. Every week, get in a small group and come to church. Every month, serve on team and tithe. Tithe. If you don't know what a tithe is, then you probably don't need to know right now. So as you find Jesus in your life, you're going to start to feel that you're called in this direction. The Bible teaches about a 10% tithe, giving to the church, giving to the ministry and the work of God. I know that sounds like, oh, yeah, that's fine. That's Old Testament. It's not just Old Testament, but people think, yeah, that doesn't really matter anymore. Or we'll give some here, we'll give some there. That's not what devotion looks like. Being devoted doesn't look like here, there, everywhere, whatever. I'll come on Sundays if I want. This church isn't about you. If you're a Christian, this church isn't about you. You are the church, and you're about them. If you're a Christian, this church isn't for you. If you're not, hey, this church is for you. Come when you want. Leave when you want. Give if you want. Don't give if you don't. But if you're a Christian and this is your church, this isn't for you. It's you for them. It's you for the world. It's you for the broken. It's you for the lost. It's you for the sick. It's you for the weak and the lame. It's you for the prisoners. It's you for the lost. It's you for the orphans. It's you for the widows. You are the church, and you're for them. This church isn't for you if you're a Christian. You are the church. So how you get behind it is your devotion to God. How are you getting behind it? Devote yourself to read your Bible and pray. Devote yourself weekly to small group and to getting here. Devote yourself monthly to tithing and to serving on team. And I'm telling you, if we will do that together, I'm telling you, we're going to see something special here. We're going to see something crazy. And the only reason I know that is because I see it in Acts. I want what happened in Acts. I want what took place after Acts. I want for my shadow to heal people. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, I'd be going out on the sunny days all the time. Hey, there's my shadow. Boom, it's healing people. I want to see that. I want to see people getting set free. I want to see people coming to know Jesus. I want to see homes sold and the money going to the church and the church serving this community and seeing people come to know Jesus. I want that so bad. But this week has been revolutionary for me in recognizing this. Not about me wanting that. It's about me devoting myself to this. What's going on here? When it's mundane, when the pastor preaches badly, when your fellowship with friends doesn't feel good, devote yourself. Watch what takes place. Also today, if you're here, you say, I don't know anything about that. I think I'm on the couple pages before where Peter was talking about Jesus and all of a sudden all these people just said, what do we do? He said, repent and be baptized. Well, in 2 weeks, there's a chance to be baptized. But today, there's a chance to repent and know Jesus. If today, you say, I'm starting to get it. I thought all this devotion was all about religion and doing all the rules and following all that stuff. Now, for us, devotion is just about Jesus because we believe that Jesus is where the power is. And if today you say, I want that thing. I feel like I need to give my heart over to Jesus. You're cut to the heart, just like Peter was, just like all of these people were. If today that's you, you can know him. You can know Jesus. He will save you. He will reach out to you. He will change your life. If that's you, what I'm going to ask you to do as the service wraps up is that we have Keith and Pat, who are a couple of our prayer warriors in this church, and they're going to make their way over to the cross. If that's you, you say, I just, something's going on. I'm cut to my heart. I need this. I need to know who this Jesus is. Take a step and make your way down to them. Tell them that. And they want to pray with you and walk with you through that. And we want to connect with you so that you can be devoted here. Devoted to small group. Devoted to teaching. Devoted to this. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much that we're not responsible for miracles. That our faith, which is so fickle, our faith, which is so weak, is not responsible for accomplishing everything that needs to happen. But Lord, we get the picture that our devotion is. It seems like you release more as devotion is given to you. As we hand ourselves over to you and say, we're committed to this, Jesus, we start to see how the apostles saw incredible things. Lord, we want to be filled with awe. We want to be filled with awe that when we show up and on a Sunday morning, there's just something already burning in our hearts. We want to be filled with that awe, but Lord, we know that doesn't come from us just gritting our teeth and fighting for faith. But it comes from devoting ourselves even when it's hard. Committing ourselves even when it's confusing. Giving ourselves to you even when we don't get it. Teach us how to do that, Lord. Teach us how to do that. Give us strength to do it in community. Give us strength to do it with each other. And Lord, we just pray that we would see incredible things because of you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, why don't we all stand together? These guys are going to sing a song for us. And as they sing it, you can stick around and you can be here and sing it with them. Or you can head out too. If you want to make it back at 1 o'clock, we'd love to have you and just talk to you about what's been going on in the church and get a feel for that and where we're going. But bless you this week. Have an incredible week. Devote yourself. We love you. See ya.